Welcome to another episode of At So Cincinnati. I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love, in the midst of the summer. And today, I thought, let's get back to some lighthearted roots with our special guest today is Bob Deck, one of the partners in 4EG. Bob has been a guest on the podcast before in a very serious time in the midst of the COVID pandemic. And we talked about very serious issues facing bars and restaurants then. And I just really appreciate that he was willing to do that. But kind of came across my radar this week that 4EG is reopening Japs on Main Street. And I was like, ooh, let's talk about that. And so that's kind of why he's coming on. But we're going to talk about 4EG. They're up to 13 bars and restaurants in Cincinnati. So you've probably been there. Maybe you don't know that it's Bob Deck and his partners behind it.
Yeah. So basically, if you like going out to a bar in Cincinnati, OTR especially, you probably don't even realize you're at one of their properties. So it'll be fun to catch up with him. And, you know, when I think about Japs, even before the OTR Renaissance, that Main Street little entertainment district was a precursor to that. And Japs has been around and endured and is now reopening. So, yeah, that is big news for those folks who like to go down to the Main Street area. And Japs is full of history, so it'll be a fun conversation.
Most definitely. We're going to get back to our real roots, too. Let's talk some politics, Burl, but not 2023 at this moment. Oh, there's a lot to talk about there. We'll dig into that next week. We're going to be a little bit, more lighthearted this week. And so we were off last week, you guys. So last week, I will say, we're going to talk about 2024 here because that's how politics works. John Cranley did say he's not running for prosecutor. So the Democrats are back to ground zero looking for a prosecutor candidate in 2024. I've heard some names circulated about that. Connie Pillich, you guys might recognize state rep Connie Pillich, a veteran. And she said maybe she's looking at it. And I think, this is wide open for a Democrat to run, so we're really waiting to hear who that candidate is going to be against the Republican candidate already announced, Melissa Powers. But we had another announcement just yesterday about the 2024 election.
We did, and as Scott Wortman reported, the first Republican has announced that they're going to try to challenge Lance, or not try, they will challenge Lanceman, assuming that they get through the primary. And that is someone who's, I would say, not on the radar yet. And that's Orlando Sanza. Sherry, what do you know about him?
You know, he's an assistant Hamilton County prosecutor, and that's good farm territory for Republican candidates. It just is. And he's from Springfield Township. And He is an Army veteran, and I really think that they're going to be pushing that narrative about him. He's a graduate of West Point. I don't know Orlando that well. I had an opportunity to meet him going back to past podcast. I just happened to run into him and get to meet him at the Greek Festival. And very personable. Was with his family, I think. I can see why the Republicans, are putting him forward. He is going up against, I would say, Greg Lanceman, has a lot of name ID from his time on Cincinnati City Council. And remember, Greg Lanceman, last year, the time is blending together, bro. It's the summertime. I'm like, did he start in January? Yes. So yeah. Greg defeated Steve Chabot for this seat last November. And 2-year term. So he's kind of, half a year into his term on this. And then, but this is the kind of race that already ramps up right now.
So a lot to unpack here, starting with you met Orlando at the Greek Festival. If I recall correctly, he was being kind of introduced and walked around by Alex Triantafilou. Is that right?
It was, and he was not, not in a campaign shirt. And I was like, because I had heard he was probably running. And I was like, he's not in a campaign shirt. And they kind of like poo-pooed me. But then I realized as soon as I heard the announcement was coming last Friday, that like a big official announcement for, you know, Monday, I was like, oh, because he didn't officially announce yet. Oh, right. That we have to get through those things first.
And for those who don't have their scorecard in front of them, Alex is the former chair of the Hamilton County Republican Party. Now he runs the party from the state level. And so, yeah, we've talked about the Greek Festival a lot, but it is a place where you see, you know, it's a big summer festival. So you do see from time to time people with political aspirations popping in.
Judge Gwen Bender, you know, Judge Leslie Giz was serving. Judge
hands,
Leslie Giz served us a beer. Like I was like, Judge.
It was sort of a political scene going on. Yeah. But so do you think Orlando will have any Republicans step up to challenge him in a primary?
I don't. The Republicans do, I have to say, seem very organized around this as their pick. You know, the big key there is that Alex was with him and Russ Mock, the Hamilton County Republican Party chairman. When they're there for the announcements, that's the signal. This is the candidate.
Very good. So it's funny to think about it this way, because Steve Chabot, the Republican, had that seat in Congress for so long, it was almost a foregone conclusion that it was a Republican stronghold. But as Hamilton County in particular has shifted blue, and the district is, you know, the borders of the district include parts of Warren County, which were reliably red, but maybe not so much anymore. Is this suddenly, after one election, now a Democratic stronghold, Congressional District 1?
It is, if the map holds up. I don't know if you know, the maps keep changing.
I haven't read one of those 100 stories. I can't read another story about redistricting.
If the map is the map, then yes, it definitely it favors a Democrat in this district for sure, but I'm never ruling out anything when it comes to what this map is going to look like by next November.
So the map is a factor, but just looking at, you know, are there opportunities for Orlando Sanza to campaign hard against Greg Landsman? It doesn't look like Greg is giving him a lot to work with. I mean, Greg seems to have had a pretty solid freshman year in Congress. No unforced errors that I can recall, really sticking to what he campaigned on in terms of, you know, his priorities, you know, no surprises coming from him. Where do you think he's weak? Where do you think Orlando has a chance?
Well, again, it depends on the map. Orlando is planning on really, I think, campaigning on, you know, anti-abortion. But Greg, that's going to be a spirited debate between the two of them. I mean, Greg's a diehard Democrat. So I think that that's going to be a big issue in this campaign. I mean, Greg's a freshman congressman. Like that, it's tough. But he has, if you look at his record, really worked across the aisle. His name is on some bills with some Republicans. I do have the opportunity to talk to Greg, and I look forward to getting to know Orlando, honestly. Even though I cover Cincinnati City Hall, like there's only so many politics reporters at the Inquirer, I'm always happy to jump in. But Greg, I know that he is in DC and he's really hustling and getting to know people and not afraid to be like, oh, you're a Republican, I'm not going to talk to you, or oh, you're a Republican and your reputation precedes you, that he's really there, like trying to work with everybody in at times that can be frustrating for him. The one thing I would say that I have seen now, Steve Chabot, of course, was not a freshman by the end of his term and everything, but Greg has been very transparent. You guys should follow, if you want to know what Greg is up to, follow him on Instagram. He does Instagrams, you know, from, you know, Washington, D.C., and you can see where he stands on everything. And there's been a lot of town halls in Cincinnati. And it's so funny because Greg would get all mad. We don't cover everything. Because Steve Chabot, they got so political, you know, like he really wasn't hosting them. That often in the district, like the old time politics where you would just have these and he wasn't having them. So that was kind of a story. We are not having these town halls where people could come in and attack him and there's videos made and all these things. But now Greg is having them all the time. And he's like, well, don't you want to write about him? I'm like, no, great. I'm glad you're having them. And so if you want to get to know Greg, there are plenty of opportunities to do that.
All right. Well, it's hard to believe that I just did the math. 17 months ahead of the election, we're talking about Congressional District 1, but that's politics today.
No, to your terms. I'll leave you with one more, politics thought. I thought that I would be knee deep in that council race because that's in a race that's this year. But the Democrats really, they have the time to actually, file your petitions to run for Cincinnati City Council is still a ways away. It's 90 days before the election. So we could really see like people running. I'm just not hearing it yet. And if you are running, you guys should really tell the City Hall reporter. Always a good idea. I mean, I heard about Orlando. That's not even on my beat. And so, but I have not heard about anyone other really than the slate running for Cincinnati City Council. So what I thought my summer was going to look like, it's just a little bit different, but we're going to dig into some issues, I promise. But it's not really this long list of candidates.
Yeah. And I think it's going to heat up because even though we haven't seen too much activity, I think there is the Democrats anyway see an opportunity to gain, one more seat or the final seat, I should say, to make it a complete lock. And that would be Liz Keating's seat. So there's going to have to be, I would bet that they will put somebody up strong against Liz Keating. And I shouldn't say against because
the Democrats have their slate of nine. They have their slate of nine and the slate is very powerful, but Liz Keating has just the name ID. And I think people are going to go down that ballot and they might see the slate, but then they're also going to be like, oh, Liz Keating. So that's like a big mystery of what happens kind of there. Cause I do think that Liz has that name ID. She's done a lot on council. That's a whole different political campaign. But even now, I mean, I talked to Liz yesterday. I mean, she's doing all kind of anti-violence work she has an actual job, besides being a councilwoman, she's volunteering as a lifeguard because the city does still need lifeguards. All the pools are open, but three, you guys. So that's something that kind of came on my radar yesterday, which is good. And that looks like those are probably going to open. But I mean, Liz is still working really hard this summer at things. And I think you're going to hear her name on there's still work being done.
Yeah, I would say she's got a lock on keeping that. But you just never know, because there are people that just vote the straight party ticket, even though the Cincinnati City Charter tried to avoid having city council be so partisan. You just can't avoid it. All right.
It's more partisan than ever. That's probably one of the issues I will be looking at, what these 2-year terms ended up looking like as a big conversation for a long time, 2-year terms, 4-year terms, no 2-year terms. And like what that has brought to City Hall, that'll be something I tackle this summer.
All right. Much more to come. Should we switch to our special guest?
Absolutely. It's happy hour time. Oh, wait, no, not yet. It's like the middle of the day. Let's welcome on Bob Deck. Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. I'm excited to introduce again Bob Deck. He's been on the podcast before, but I thought this would be a good time to have him back because we are at the heart of the summer, and there's no better way to spend after work than kind of going up into Over the Rhine and exploring what's going on there. And Bob has something new for us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on today.
So are you just, are you speaking to us now? Or are you like hammering and nailing and you're inside Japs? Is that what's happening?
We're getting close. We're, you know, all these things, I feel like they always come down to the wire, but, we've got some crucial pieces in yesterday that we've got put up. One was a big chandelier and our booth arrived yesterday, last week. And so we're working hard, but we'll be ready.
I love a good chandelier moment. I'm very excited. I have to say. So Japs is what's happening right this second. Kind of let's start with Japs and talk about, you know, for EG, your company going there, and we'll work backwards today with okay. Your whole company.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, Japs is an iconic bar. It's been in Cincinnati for a long time. I remember, and I'll show my age here, even back in the late 90s, going into Japs on Main Street. And, you know, it's had some changes of ownership. Most recently, Molly Wellman, which we all know and love in Cincinnati. It was her bar. And ultimately, she moved on to other things. And, you know, I've had such a good friendship with Molly for a long time. It seemed just like a great situation for her and I for 4EG to take over. And just like anything, you know, we wanted to remodel it a little bit, but still give people that same nostalgic Japs feel that it's had over the years. And the time has come, and so this coming Thursday, we're going to have a relaunch party.
What kind of changes do you think that we'll see there? Well, do you know we'll see there?
So we did a lot to the interior. We transformed with some new wallpaper and some different seating. One of the things we wanted to do was really bring back some memorabilia from the Japs Hair Store, which it just with its history in Cincinnati. So we've got a lot of framed artifacts that we've found that my marketing team was able to dig up and research. And so we're really bringing all that back in with new lighting, a new sound system, new seating, refresh the floors, just everything, you know, a lot of things that will be noticeable when you walk in the door.
So, Jeff, so you're telling me it originated as a hair store?
It was a hair store, yes. So, wigs, all types of things for hair. Not necessarily my department, but
it is mine though. Okay.
But we really found some really good history and some really good things to incorporate, some signage that was even original signage and things like that back into the bar, which I think people will see. There's a room in the back that we're really going to focus the attention to that too, all over the walls and things like that. We're at the moment, literally today, framing and hanging some of those things and placing them in the back room.
I love how so many places in Over the Rhine, like we talk a lot about the history and what things look like on the outside and preserving all of our history, but so many places are preserving the insides too and taking us back to with some, you know, totally fresh, but with the memories too. And it's a fun part of what the Cincinnati going out scene is, I think.
Yep. And one of the things we did, which I'm probably giving away a little bit of a secret that people would see, is we recreated the Japs menu and we brought it back to look like almost like an old newspaper. And inside that menu, there's some historical pieces that people can read. And along with looking at our menu for, you know, cocktails and beverages. So I think it's pretty cool and well designed and just neat for the city overall.
I don't know, but you found the girl. You know, who likes old newspapers, and I pulled out like the boxes of all of my own old newspapers, and my son was like, What? I mean, he's seen the newspaper come to the house, but for him to see like stacks of newspapers that I kind of pulled out of nowhere, he was like, huh, okay. So I love a good old newspaper.
Yep.
So let's talk about 4EG. Like when I was getting ready for today and I was looking at the list, because it's so easy. I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before with our guests. It's like, you might not know the guests themselves, although I do think we all know Bob Deck at this moment, but you do know what they do. You go to their establishments, you see their work, you're looking at, you know, all of the things that they do. But I mean, you're up to 13 bars and with the restaurants too with it. 13 in Cincinnati alone?
Yes. And, you know, it's been a wild ride. I mean, I'm Cincinnati native. So, like a lot of your other guests that you've had, I've got a lot of pride for this city and started back in 2001 with some business partners of mine up in Mount Adams. And we opened up our first location up there, had no idea that it would ever turn into what it is today. But, you know, all four of us, we were very hard workers and had a goal. And, I think, you know, some of the places that we've opened up over the years have been in areas that, maybe nobody thought that a place would even go in. And, we've just been, you know, along the ride with this entire Cincinnati Renaissance. And, it's been a really pleasurable experience for me personally.
What was that first place in Mount Adams?
So it was a bar called Alive One, and it was on the corner of St. Gregory up there. And next door to it was the Mount Adams Pavilion, which was, again, a kind of another, I don't want to call it Japs type place, but it was another iconic bar restaurant that had seen many, many years here in Cincinnati.
You know, I have been noticing lately, so of course, 2001, right? Mount Adams, that's where people was like a destination. Downtown was having all of its troubles. Sleeper and City Hall's eye, right? I'm in Cincinnati, and that did seem like that the going out district was in Mount Adams. There was nice restaurants. You would go up there if you would never be able to park, but you would go up there really to go out. And now the entertainment district, I don't think there's any dispute, is in Over the Rhine. Do you feel like Mount Adams is having a little bit of a renaissance itself?
Yeah, I mean, Mount Adams is such a unique place. I think it will be here forever. I do think with the population of Cincinnati, and I know you had this on a previous podcast, I mean, we definitely want more people to move to Cincinnati and live in the downtown area, which will just, you know, help all the different areas, you know, just be as vibrant as they can be. So Over the Rhine certainly has transformed over the years. I think Mount Adams will always be there and be Mount Adams. And then the other parts of the city, the Central Business District and the banks, they all seem to have their kind of unique place here in Cincinnati.
What do you think is really kind of next on the landscape? So we've been writing just tons of stuff about downtown. Do you see things like moving closer to what is going to be the convention center district? Because we're seeing DC's doing a lot with Fourth and Race. There's a club going in there. And the mixed-use part of Fourth and Race has kind of come along. Do you see things moving in that direction? Get out your crystal ball and kind of you probably don't even need a crystal ball. You actually probably know. Like, where's the direction?
Well, I think there's a couple. I think, first of all, the convention center project is going to be just amazing for the city. I think it's going to really change some of the conventions we get. And that area around there will completely develop based on that. So I do think that is one area. You also have, I mean, it's still fairly new, is the whole FC Stadium area, which is underway now too, where just that corner of Liberty and Central, I think there's going to be a ton that goes on there that's coming up. North of Liberty around Findlay Market, we still continue to see a ton of development and new operators coming in with all types of different stores. So I think in really the Court Street area, which we put a little bar called Pilar down on, which is almost that connector between Over the Rhine and the Central Business District. So those are four just right offhand that I think are all moving quickly and a lot of development going into those areas.
No, I agree. Do you feel like the landscape has changed since COVID, I feel like? Because you feel like, okay, all of these things are closing and like what's happening to this and that. But just looking at the list of what 4EG is doing, there's also so much opening. And I almost feel like it's more than what's closing. And we're just in a shift, kind of like a 2001 shift, where things like 2001 might be a little bit early, but that whole 2006, 2007, when so many things were really starting to come online, I feel like we're in that moment right now.
I do too. And I think, you know, people, obviously COVID had its effects and we'll always end up living with that. But as time has now, you know, moving forward, you know, more and more things are happening. And I do think, you know, COVID will be further and further away from us. So I do feel like there's with those areas that I even spoke about and those projects, as you mentioned, the residential that's coming online, I think we're about to enter sort of a whole nother new era of growth and development in downtown Cincinnati.
So there is so much residential going on. I really encourage people to read all of our downtown coverage. The list is long. What do you think about where the city stands on having the workers coming back full time in our office buildings? Because so much is being said about the importance of residential, which is so true. But I'm not sure we're all the way back on having people work downtown. That's up for debate, I know. But how important is that to our thriving downtown? And are we there at the moment of having enough of the workers back downtown?
Well, I can tell you, we certainly need the workers back downtown. And it would be wonderful to have them back downtown 5 days a week, you know, prior to COVID, like we did. As a small business owner and someone who connects with a lot of small business owners, we drastically need a thriving business community downtown that is downtown working. So I encourage every business owner out there that even if they start small and maybe they have some type of hybrid schedule first, and even after that, throw in some type of way to continue to get people back in the office and back downtown. It's just, and not even necessarily for my business, which it is for my business, but I'm talking about the people that survive on lunch business and all the other businesses that survive on the business community to be, you know, 50%, 60% of their business. I can't say enough that to try to encourage people to get back downtown to work.
As someone who's been going back downtown a lot, I was off a little bit last week, but the week before I was like, did I just go downtown 5 days? I was like, I think I did. The dog was waiting at the front door because he's so spoiled now from COVID. But I was like, the schedule is nice. It's good to go downtown.
Yeah, you can really tell. I mean, you can tell in our business, happy hour is a big a part of our business. And there's days where you just know that there's a lot of people downtown because our happy hour business is where we think it should be. And then there's certain days where there's almost no business, and it's just because people aren't down here.
The one area that we did not mention so far, as long as let's hit all the areas. I love that you brought up the FC Cincinnati development, because I am very eager to see what that looks like. That is moving along so quickly. So I agree that I think that's going to come quicker than we even think. We have not mentioned the banks, and 4EG does have a presence there. I just wrote a big story about the banks. If you guys, thank you for all the positive response on that story. That made me feel so good, like right before I went on vacation and went to Taylor Swift. So thank you for everyone who read that story and really reached out to me. It felt good, but the banks... Speaking of change, so you have a presence there. Do you have two places in the banks, I think?
We do. We've had a bar down there called The Stretch for a little, just about 5 years. And just recently, we opened up a new location called Killer Queen. And that went into the old Joella's Hot Chicken location, which is in between the Tin Roof and the Holy Grail.
My coworkers who are listening are like, oh, Joella's Hot Chicken. Because everyone likes to go there. Tell me, you know, every time I walk by it, where does the name Killer Queen come from? I cannot ask that question. Because it's like, what?
So Killer Queen, our names of our locations, they're all unique. We spend some time thinking about them. You know, Killer Queen, it's a little bit of an ode to the Queen City. The four partners and I were music lovers. Killer Queen obviously is a famous song. So and we just thought it would be a great name for Cincinnati. So we opened that up in April. It's a bar with a pizza concept, and we think it just, you know, fits really well down there, and a lot of the customer feedback that we've gotten seems to enjoy and appreciate the space.
Is it open at lunchtime?
It is not open for lunch yet. We're open at 4 o'clock, and I say we're not open for lunch, but there's so many events down at the banks that a lot of times, if there's Reds games that start at noon or concerts, I mean, there's so many things that start at the banks. It's hard to even have dedicated hours there because I feel like we're always open whenever something is going on down there.
Right. With the Dora District and everything. Definitely. And the Reds day games, like I have not been to one yet, but I am like out walking around sometimes and I'm like, is it the weekend?
I know. It was, I was down there for a Wednesday day game just recently. And I think it was when they won number 12 in a row. And it seemed during the middle of the day, like it was a Saturday night down there. It was awesome.
More of that, more Reds winning, more streaks like that, more vibrant days at the banks. I'm all for these things.
Yes. Me too.
So what is next for 4EG?
That's a good question. We've started a footprint in Columbus, which is something that we'll continue to work on. But in terms of Cincinnati, we've been looking all over. We don't have anything designated just yet, but we're not done here in Cincinnati. Like I said, I live here. I love Cincinnati. So we're currently talking about a few things, but nothing that's really permanent that I would feel comfortable, you know, stating, just because you never know if it's, we look at a ton of different deals and you just never know if they're going to work out or not.
So I get that totally, especially because all of the different spaces, nothing's really online yet, but they're coming and we can see them coming. Are you surprised by the growth? I mean, this is a lot of, you know, areas. You're in Chicago too. This is a lot for just, 22 years?
Yes. I seem like it's gone by so fast. I can't believe it's been that long. But we're still young. I mean, we still feel like we're young. We still feel like we're at the starting line. So we're going to continue to open up locations that we think are great for the city, and it's what we do and what we love. So I'm excited to continue to go to work every day. We've built up a great team here in Cincinnati. We've got a great marketing team, a great finance team, a great HR team. Our hub is in Findlay Market right here above the Globe Building, or in the Globe Building. So, it's it's been a great 20 years and I'm looking for 20 more.
Well, I think that's the perfect note to end on. I cannot thank you for coming on again. I'm excited to see Japs. And again, there's a list, you guys, online of all of the different places. It seems like the perfect July and August bucket list. That's what I thought when I was listing it.
Yes, we've got some great managers at Japs, and they put a lot of effort into the menu and naming the menu. I know that Japs, prior to us taking over, was a cocktail bar. We're still carrying that tradition. So come in on Thursday or any day, really, but Thursday is our relaunch. Try some of the cocktails that Adam and Holly have put together, and I think you won't be disappointed.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, gosh. I knew you were probably going to ask me. I knew you were probably going to ask me that. I'll go with the Dizzy Dancing. How about that?
Okay. And we're going to let people just find out what's in it themselves.
Yep. We'll leave that a little bit of a teaser.
All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too.
Well, thank you for Bob Deck for joining us. That was such a good conversation. You know, I cannot believe how many of these conversations really have been turning into, you know, these bigger discussions about downtown. It is really exciting. Going back to something that he said, he called, you know, this big renaissance moment in downtown with all of the residential living happening. And so that was a really good conversation. Jeff sounds like it's going to be amazing, of course. But that was a nice deep dive into what downtown's looking like.
Well, and with that, should we switch to our now famous closing segment, and that's sharing a good Cincinnati moment of the week. And the reason I'm jumping to this is because I think I had my best That's So Cincinnati moment that I've had in a long time. And I'm just like, I can't wait to share it with you, Sherry.
All right, I've been out every day, but you go. Actually, I know what your moment is. And it's like the trifecta of Cincinnati things, going out. So let's do it, Burl.
All right, so let me paint you the scene, okay? I had just gotten home from a week-long stay at summer camp with my son's scout troop, all right? So we took 44 Boy Scouts to Camp Woodruff in northern Georgia. Beautiful destination camp, you know, in the Blue Ridge Mountains, you know, lake setting, horseback riding, whitewater rafting, just anything you would want to do. Great fishing, but it's still camp and it's still camp food, right? If anyone's gone to summer camp, they know about camp food. So after a week of camp food, Lauren said, well, you want me to make dinner? And I was like, no, I'm craving Montgomery Inn. Let's just go to Montgomery Inn. No reservation. We'll just kind of, you know, fight our way into the bar, belly up to the bar, and, you know, have a little food, have a little drink. So we do. We got a seat at the bar, and the Reds are playing, and there are a bunch of Reds fans around the bar, and the game started getting exciting.
As Reds, you know, this games was, do these days.
As they do, that's correct. And so Ellie De La Cruz, that was the game where he stole second base, third base, and then taking advantage of a little bit of, shall I say, lack of focus when they threw the ball back to the pitcher with seven steps, he had stolen home. And the bar went bananas. You would have thought we won the World Series or something like that. And so sharing that moment, you know, that, you know, Ellie De La Cruz is going to have a hell of a highlight reel this season. And that's going to be on there.
Wait, aren't we like from his first month? A hell of a highlight reel from his first month?
Pretty much so. Yeah, just since getting called up. If that wasn't enough, you know, sharing that moment with other Cincinnati Reds fans in an iconic Cincinnati setting, the owner of the Montgomery Inn, Tom Gregory, happened to be there. and bought a round for everybody at the bar. He was so excited. So that even caused more celebration amongst the patrons there that night. So that was just one of those perfect Cincinnati moments that I'm going to remember for a long time.
Could you hear the roar of the stadium from being inside the Montgomery Inn?
Well, I was at the OG, the original Montgomery Inn, not the boathouse. Otherwise, okay. I'm sure we, plus they were away, so.
Okay. All right. I'm following sports as close as I can, Burl. There's so much to keep up between what's happening with the Reds. And of course, we're already looking forward to Bengals season and FC Cincinnati and all the things that are going on with their hunt for the trophy and the cup games that have been at TQL Stadium. It is a lot of sports to keep up with.
It is a lot of sports to keep up with. And I was downtown Saturday for the the Team USA game at TQL Stadium. And, you know, we were we went to Findlay Market, so we weren't too far from TQL Stadium. And just watching all the fans show up, you know, fans from not just, you know, all over the United States, but fans from all over the world, really. This is
the Guatemalans really showed up in force, showing
with flags and uniforms. And you're right.
I followed along on social media. It was fun to watch.
Well, there you have it. That's my moment. I couldn't wait to share it.
All right. Well, I love it. Thanks, you guys, for listening to another episode. Obviously, we did take off last week, but we're back.